scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 4, version that Brother Sikowski was reading from, mentioned issues of life. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of issues, aren't there? We've kind of idiomized that phrase in our culture, and we speak about people with issues. Well, life does present us with a lot of questions. And like any other domain, whether it's life or, I think about school when you have problems and you think, well, how am I going to solve this problem or that problem, or how am I going to deal with this one? You know, one of the questions that you typically come up with is, where am I going to start? When I think about school and problems and so forth, I have to think about Mr. Vaughter. That's V-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, in case you're taking notes. But he's probably dead by now because he was an old man then. And he was our algebra teacher. And he was a dear fellow. I really liked him. But, you know, one of the things that I didn't like about algebra were those word problems. And I got on the internet today and I found one here, if I can get it to come up, that probably might, you know, ring true with you. You know, Peter has six times as many dimes as quarters in her piggy bank, and she has 21. This is whoever, I don't know, Susie, I don't know. I'm sorry, Susie. Penelope, all right. She has 21 coins in her piggy bank, totaling $2.55. How many of each type of coin does she have? And, of course, then you got to figure out, all right, where do I start? And Mr. Vaughter says, well, you always start with the knowns, and then you go from the knowns, and then you write out your equation, all that kind of stuff. And then eventually maybe you'll get to the get to the solution of the problem. But for me, my solution to that problem is give me a hammer, and I'm going to break that sucker open. I'll tell you how many dimes and quarters are in there. You know, forget the equations, forget algebra, you know. I don't have to deal with all that. So, but you know, that isn't that the way a lot of people... Oh, Scotty's sitting over there figuring it out. He's all right, yeah, there were, yeah, yeah, 3/4 and 11 dimes, of course, yeah. But, you know, people kind of approach life that way. You know, there's a logical, not necessarily mathematical, but there's a logical approach to dealing with the issues of life. And, of course, the logic is we go to the Word and we look at what God says and we proceed on the basis of His instructions. But I think, you know, some people kind of walk around with a big old hammer in their hand. They're just trying to, you know, bash their way through life. And they're leaving a lot of broken pieces. You know, and that poor little piggy, he's not going to cry on the way home anymore, you know, when I get through with him. And that's the way life is with a lot of people. So what do we do? Where do we start? How do we deal with this? Aside from getting the big old hammer. Well, let's go back to the text. And you notice that what he says essentially is you need to be vigilant and watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. We have to look inside. We have to look at our own heart so that we can evaluate our emotions. You know, that's part of what goes on in our heart. And certainly we use that term heart or mind synonymously with intellect, being able to put two and two together and, you know, solving the infamous equation. And then we have to decide. And we just make our decisions in our heart. What are we going to do? Well, let's think about these things for just a moment. First of all, some people say, well, you just got to go for it. Have a lot of zeal, have a lot of, you know, drive, and just get out there and, you know, like the old bull in a china closet, just go and you'll run into something, you know. But, you know, zeal has to be blended with knowledge. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 2, where Paul is agonizing over the course of his Jewish brethren, the course that they had taken. And one of the things that is commendable, that they had zeal, all right, but he said, for I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And then he said in verse 3, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. So here we've got two components of this process here of looking at our hearts and evaluating the situation and making the decisions. And that is, yes, they had zeal, but not according to knowledge. And then, of course, he mentions that they did not subject themselves to the will of God. And again, if we're going to be on the right course, if we're going to arrive at the proper answer to the issues of life, it's going to be upon the basis of what God says. We've already mentioned that, and this is certainly borne out by what Paul speaks of here in Romans chapter 10. Another thing that we might factor into the consideration of what's in our heart is love. There's a popular notion in the world today that all you need is just love. Just have love, and that solves every problem. Well, I'm not going to diminish the importance or significance of love. But what else goes with love according to Jesus in John 14, 21? Obedience. He said, those who love me will obey me, he said. And now that gets back to, well, we know that love is an emotion. But also, obedience is involved here. And that's a matter of will. And, of course, we could also blend intellect into that. And I think you're already seeing that at least all three of the components that I have up here on the screen have got to work together. It's not an either or. Let's blend these together in order to come out with the right solution. And then, obedience. You can make some people do anything if you threaten them, beat them, stick a gun in their back, etc., etc. Some people will do what you tell them to do under certain circumstances, under duress, we might say. But that's not the solution to the problem. We are accused, members of the Lord's church, are accused of being legalists. And by that, what's being asserted is that we just believe in keeping a bunch of rules. We nail a bunch of rules up and we say, if you got to do this and you got to do that, and if you don't do it, then you're going to hell. But that's a false assertion. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't people that perhaps have stated things in such a way that one might draw that conclusion, but that's not what the Bible teaches, and I don't believe any of us in this room believe that. And Paul, he addresses that subject here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And then he proceeds to talk about what love does. And we'll have more to say about that in a moment. But love is manifested in our lives. And so we must, again, meld obedience and love together. And we all understand the importance of this. And, of course, that's, again, why the Proverb writer would say that we need to guard our hearts with all diligence. We have to look carefully, honestly, at what's in our hearts and then proceed from that point. So, let's think about this. God gave us the ability to reason. And he invites people to reason. Come, let us reason together, Isaiah 1 and verse 18. And that's what I try to do when I preach, is to present information out of the Bible in a fashion that causes us to stop and think and to put these things together and connect some dots and reason about these things and come to the conclusion that God intended for us to arrive at. Well, let's reason for a moment together. We know that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 states that specifically. So we have to factor that truth into the process of, you know, making the decisions that are going to be in harmony with His will, is that we understand this dimension of God. It is His character. And of course, His character is to be manifested in our lives. We talked about that this morning from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. His spirit, or His character, is to dwell in us. And so we are aspiring, that we're supposed to be, and I'm confident you are, you wouldn't be here tonight. We are aspiring to be as much like Him, not that we're going to be gods, no, but to understand the nature of God so that we can look to Him as our example. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 that we're to look to Christ as our example and to follow His example. And we know how much He loved us. And so, yes, we put this into the mix. Furthermore, and I just mentioned Ephesians chapter 3, we understand that this is absolutely essential. That is, that it is foundational to our relationship to Him. Look again at this text with me. Ephesians chapter 3, last part of verse 16, and then I'm going to read down through verse 19, and we're going to connect some dots here. That you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You notice that He mentions love here twice in this text. Back in verse 17, the end result of the process that He has described is that you will be rooted and grounded in love, that is, in connection with love. The love, of course, that we understand exudes from God. Rooted and grounded means that you're stabilized. If a wind comes along like a tree, and there's a tree out there in the yard and its roots are deep and it's really got a good hold on things, so then it'll be able to withstand the storm. And so He mentions in verse 18 to be strong, to apprehend with all the saints. What? Well, the length and the height and the breadth. In other words, the entirety of this whole enterprise that we're talking about. We've got a handle on it. We've got a good picture of it. Which is, as we mentioned this morning, incomprehensible almost. But yet we're dealing with deity. We're talking about God. And to know the love of Christ, again, which passes knowledge. I mean, it's, you can't measure it. You can't weigh it. You can't get a yardstick out and you say, well, how long is it, or how high is it, or what's the specific gravity, or any of the other scientific means that we have of measuring things and weighing things. You can't do that with the love of God and the love of Christ. It's beyond that. And yet it is so essential that sometimes I guess we take it for granted and don't really appreciate how critical it is to the good health, using that term accommodatively, health in a spiritual sense of our spiritual hearts. Furthermore, look at 1 John chapter 2 with me, verses 4 through 6. You know, John has been called the apostle of love. Notice beginning in verse 4 what he says. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Now think about this for a moment. The love of God perfected. The word we would probably understand a little better would be completed. It's reached its intent. It's accomplished its intended purpose. What is that? To move people, to motivate them to obey God. Not coerced, not threatened. No, motivated out of love for God and reverence for God. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks. But here's another view of it. Same point, but it's just a little bit different perspective that John gives us here. So, the love of God is perfected, and then he says, last part of verse 5, hereby we know that we are in him, and he that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. Walking in connection with his love. And doing what? Abiding in him. The word abide means just to stay put. If you tell Fido to stay, and if he is well trained, he will stay until whatever the command is that allows him to move. Staying put with regard to God. Not wavering, not being blown about with every false doctrine and the enticing idea that comes along, but remaining in him. That's the intended posture that's described here. And you notice the first part of verse 5, you know how that's accomplished? Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him, and then abide in him and walking in him. It's a complete picture of what we think, what we believe, what we do, and how we live our lives. It's a complete package. But it all starts by examining our hearts and paying close attention to what's in them. Now I want to deviate just a little bit from my normal presentation. I'm going to use a little different technique for the benefit of the people who are serious Bible students, which are the ones that are usually here on Sunday night, and we'll have not only some information here, but hopefully this will be something that might help you in your Bible study. Especially in the Proverbs, and we're studying the wisdom literature in our Bible classes on Sunday morning, and of course that includes the Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and of course we took a quick peek at Job. One of my favorite study tools, is the Net Bible, NET Bible. And now it's free on the internet. Bible Gateway, you can go to BibleGateway.com and you can pick one of, 20 or 30 or perhaps more Bible versions to look at. Now the reason I like the Net Bible, and I'll show you here in just a minute, is first of all, it's a modern English rendering, and they do a really good job in the wisdom literature. Psalms and Proverbs I've been especially impressed with. I want you to want us to read from chapter 2 here in Proverbs. In the light of what we've just discussed, and then I want to take a look at something else here with you in just a moment. My child, if you receive my words, and that's what we're talking about, is paying attention to what God says and staying with him. And, of course, this is the advice of a father to a son, but the principle is that's what we do with God, is we listen to him and we store them up. Store up my commands within you by making your ear attentive to wisdom and by turning your heart to understanding. Here we are, that we're talking about the heart. Is we don't just read the words and let them go in one ear and out the other. We've got to route them through our heart so that we can latch on to them and they can make a difference in our lives. Turning your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for discernment. raise your voice for understanding. Scroll that up just a little bit. If you seek it like silver and search for it like a hidden treasure, then you will understand how to fear the Lord. Remember Ecclesiastes 12:13. We've been talking about the last 2 weeks. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Well, how do you do that? Well, here, and you know, your concordance, if you got your concordance out, you could probably find this verse and you could connect the dots. If you seek her, what wisdom and understanding and search for like a hidden treasure, you'll understand how to fear the Lord. And you will discover knowledge about God. We're going to grow in our understanding and appreciation of God if we put forth the effort, if we seek it, if we pursue it. Like a treasure. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up effective counsel for the upright and is like a shield for those who live with integrity. To guard the paths of the righteous and to protect the way of His pious ones. Remember, we just read from 1 John chapter 2 about walking in love. And abiding in God and abiding in love and following His commandments. Well, here is the same thought, isn't it? But again, it's in a different context. But He's describing what this is going to do for us. It's going to act like a shield. Well, if you're out here doing battle, and of course they did hand-to-hand combat, you know, they didn't have drones and all this fancy stuff today that helped get some of the military personnel off the battlefield. But here you've got a shield and a sword and, you know, you're fighting. And you use that shield for protection against the arrows and whatever weapons the enemy had. Well, this is what the shield symbolizes here, a means of protection for those who live with integrity, to guard, again, being guarded, guard the paths of the righteous and protect the way of the pious ones. That's what wisdom and knowledge that comes from God is going to do for us. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good way. For wisdom will enter your heart. Remember, we keep talking about this, don't we? What's it going to do for my heart? It's going to enter it. And moral knowledge will be attractive to you. I like that rendering. Not that anybody in the room tonight has a problem with being attracted to morality as opposed to immorality. But we live in a world that looks down its nose at morality. Oh, it's prudish. No, it's attractive, it's beautiful, because it's God's will. And the other is ugly, it's ungodly, it's unrighteous. And then he says discretion will protect you. Now here's where I want to show you one of the benefits of the Net Bible. All I got to do is get there from here. Let's see. I've got to click on that footnote. I think the easiest way to do it was not that way. Okay. You call me better fingers for nothing. All right. Now where? Okay. Discretion. That's the one I'm after. That one right there. I had this fixed before I got here tonight. You've got a built-in word study in this. You know, it's not always going to give you the one you're looking for, but here's a good example of the benefit of this study guide tool. This particular Hebrew word, this translated discretion there in verse 11, Zema, is the ability to know the best course of action for achieving one's goal. It is knowledge and understanding with a purpose.
This kind of knowledge enables one to make the right choices that will protect him from blunders and their consequences. Now, that is all wrapped up in that one little word right there that you otherwise, unless you do a in-depth word study and some, with some of the resource, you wouldn't have access to. So here's, here in a nutshell, it's what we're looking for. What's going to help us get through? What's going to enable us to make the right choices and the right decisions? Well, he tells us here. Discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you, to deliver you from the way of the wicked and from those speaking perversity who leave the paths, upright paths, to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing evil, and who rejoice in perverse evil, whose paths are morally crooked and who are devious in their ways. So there's a description of the enemy. And here's a rather concise, 15 verses formula for dealing with him. Now, another thing that you can do, and again, this is kind of a little extra added benefit to the method I'm using tonight, and that is to kind of help you. And because people ask me, where do you, how do you find all this stuff? Well, you just know where to look, and a little practice, and then you tap into what somebody else has done. You learn what they did, and maybe you can learn from them. And so I'm going to try to help you here tonight. The word a really good study is just to look at the uses of the word hard in the book of Proverbs, and you can do that with the concordance. And now you don't even have to turn a page. All you got to do is, wiggle your finger, on the internet. Just search for heart and the number of, and you can restrict your search to the book of Proverbs. And I think it came up 40-something times. Now, I don't know why it's not showing on the screen there. It was earlier, but anyway. Now, let's look at some things here. For example, in Proverbs 23, verse 26, just because we're talking about the heart, he said, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes observe my ways." Yeah, so we, there's an admonition to pay attention to those with wisdom. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls and when he stumbles. Do not let your heart rejoice over evil things. Like the cold snow in the time of harvest, so is the faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes the heart of his masters. Here's one. Proverbs 25:20, like the one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Like a coating of glaze over the earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Ointment and incense make the heart rejoice, like the sweetness of one's friend from a sincere counsel. Yes, the heart can, again, we're talking about emotions, and we're talking about intellect, and we're talking about decisions that we make. Scroll on down through here, there was another one there. As in water, the face is reflected as a face, so as a person's heart reflects the person. Kind of reminds you what Jesus said, isn't it, about what comes out of the heart. What we do is a manifestation of what's in our hearts. And blessed is the one who is always cautious, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into evil. So there's a warning there. There's a danger. And the one who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Remember Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. So there are so many things that are said in the scripture about And that's where I can make it. We're here. Got the wrong button. All right. About the examination of our heart, the attention that we need to give to it, and what we can do in order to make sure that we're on the right path. And it all starts in the heart. So as we wrap up the lesson this evening, let's think about, again, the verse that we started out with. Keep vigilant. I mean, that, when you talk about vigilance, I mean, you're wide awake. You're on the alert. Just like a sentry, patrolling his post. Watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. So I hope this lesson has been of some benefit to you, and especially as you think of it in the light of what we've been studying for the last 2 weeks, because it is a comprehensive subject. There's no two ways about it. But yet it's not an insoluble problem. It's not like some of those algebra problems. You know, Joe starts out in his car driving 60 miles an hour and, you know, got the 45-minute head start, and you're going to be driving 70 miles an hour. And, you know, how many hours is it going to take you to catch up with him if you average 69 point, you know, all that kind of garbage. Sometimes life seems like that. It seems like it's, you know, a problem that cannot be solved, but it's not. If we start with the basics, we start with the knowns, and of course what we know for sure is what God has told us, and we start with those things. Use the brain that he gave us to think, to analyze, to understand, to process the information, and we'll arrive at the right conclusion if we follow his directives. And so tonight, if you have a particular spiritual need, and we would be happy to talk with you about what your need is, because we are going to point you to the Word and say, well, here's what the Lord says about it. If you have a question, or if you have a particular issue that we don't have the answer for off the top of our head, we'll get the book. We'll sit down and we'll get the book and we'll look at it and we'll see what the Lord says. Because everything that pertains to life and godliness has been revealed through the knowledge of him that calls us by his own glory and virtue. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Which means there is no question, there are no issues that we don't have the answer to from God that we need an answer to. Now, he's not going to tell us which car to drive or what kind of ice cream to eat or any of that kind of stuff, but he is going to tell us what we need to know that pertains to our eternal destiny. So if you are subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which means that you really believe, I mean, down in your heart of heart, down deep in your heart of hearts, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you want to be right with him, you know you can, because he has made salvation possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on him, repent of your sins, confess his name before men, be baptized into that soul-saving relationship, and then you can begin your walk toward heaven with your heart fully devoted to him. If we can help you, come forward while we stand and while we sing.